use your American citizenship? No. There are default settings for everything, even people. There are default settings for everything, even people. That's the concept of covenant. That when you are born, you don't get the choice to come out and say, well, you know, I'd rather be an Armenian. You know, it's unless, of course, you're Armenian, right? You don't get the choice. Your parents choose for you. They choose where you go to school. They choose where you live. They choose your bank accounts. And at some point in your life, you can opt out if you are intense about it. In the same way, your parents go, you know what? I love Marquita's words about this. You're smaller than I am. You're a Christian. Right? Your parents get to choose your religious association. Did you choose your family? Are you obliged to that family? Are there people that you are born to that have rights over you? That's your default setting. You are a member of that family. They are your parents. They do have legal rights over you. In the same way, there are religious default settings. You are born to these people. You are the religion they say until you are an adult and you can opt out, but you have to opt out. So if you were baptized as a child, that's there. But if you have opted out, then there is the right to come back. There's always the option to come back. If you had denounced and renounced your American citizenship, you could re-up your American citizenship. Same way, if you have defected, you can come back. Now, if you have been... Sorry, this is a sermon completely aside, but it's all about baptism. If... bless you. Bless you. Nice catch. You're married, yes? Okay. Yes. 39 years, yes? 37 years, sorry. You just looked a little older than you. sorry. 37 years, right? We're going to say that you are a real jerk of a husband. We're going to just assume that, okay? How married are you? Completely married, but you're a jerk, right?
If you say so.
Yeah, it's purely hypothetical. Now we're going to say you're married and you are a wonderful husband. How married are you?
Same.
The same amount. Okay? That doesn't go away until you renounce your marriage. In the same way, you can have been a really terrible spouse to the Lord. You can have been a very bad Christian, an unfaithful Christian, but you are still 100% married. The key is to correct your marriage. Got it? Now, when that happens, if you renew in a marriage, you come back and you say, I would like to signify somehow that I have I've been a poor spouse, and that's going to change. We're going to offer that opportunity at the baptism as well. We're going to offer renewals. In our renewals, we're not going to have you go out and be baptized. We baptize by immersion because we waterboard you until you're really sincere. Just be glad we're not brethren, because then it's like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you clean up, you know. And you do come up speaking a lot of Bible terms, but sorry. He's really a believer. He came up speaking in tongues. sorry. Then we send him Jesus. If you are in a place where you need to be renewed or you know somebody who needs to be renewed with Christ, at the baptism, we're going to provide the opportunity for you to go out into the baptismal waters with the people who are being baptized. And there you'll be washed. You'll open your hands, confess. The elders will lave your hands. They'll wash your hands and anoint you. Because sometimes you got to get that corrected. So, but we won't dunk you. You'll just get your hands washed like they did with priests in the Old Testament. So pray about that. Think about that. And if you know somebody who's been in a place where they have strayed and wants to have a tangible moment where they can say, but I renewed, bring them. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Where's the date again?
It's on... yeah. Honestly, the staff talked this over. We had a date set before, but we want, like Brad said, we've had times where people just came down, and it's really beautiful. People just come down in a mob, and it's called catechizing them. Talk to them about baptism at the beach. But the last few times we've had baptisms, it's been chaotic, and there's people down there doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's hard to, I believe, well inform they're called catechetes, the people who are getting ready to be baptized. So we've decided this time that we're going to find out ahead of time who wants to be baptized so that we can adequately walk with them through the full process instead of doing the drive-through wedding with Elvis. I mean, you're still fully married. And if you do the drive-through wedding with Elvis in Vegas, you're still married, right? But yeah, people took some diggers last time. Yeah, we'll talk about all that. So this time we want to find out who the people are, walk with them, and then when we know what's up, we're going to announce the date of it. So, got it? Does that make sense to everybody? Cool. Awesome. Brad said, could you say a short word about baptism? It's good. That was the short word. The other was the very long one. I got called a racist this week. No, it's back. It's down here. I was doing 90 on the freeway. They called me a racist. That's racer. Race-ess. Bad. I was up at Fuller. Some of you know I teach at Fuller. I'm no longer at VU. Which is starting this week, and I'm not so bummed about, not starting teaching this week, which is kind of nice. But I was up at Fuller in Pasadena, which was psycho. Just for the traffic and everything else. And I'm teaching the specialized kind of new rollout, integrative studies, hybrid, cutting edge pedagogy, blah, blah, blah course. Which means it's just complete chaos. And in the process, I have a technical assistant. That's what they call them when they're your boss. A technical assistant who, has to go through everything and work. I'm working under, we're combining four different templates. So I'm answering in this course to five different departments, actually. It's fun. But we're there. We're going over the Moodle shell for my course and my assignment plan and all this stuff. And she's going, oh, I'm so surprised. You've got so much more done than the other professors. I go, well, it's not up to my standards here. I'm not as Germanic as I would like to be. Ein, zwei, drei. She goes, oh, let's not be a racist now. At least that's how it sounded in my head when she said it. She says, oh, let's not be a racist now, because she had somebody shadowing her, walking this other person through the process, which made it really relaxed for us. Of course, I didn't mention my grandfather's from Austria. Hello. These are my people. These are my people here. Don't diss my people. I can speak for my people, But something like that, at least how it sounds in my head. But my response was, I'm teaching intercultural studies. I'm an anthropologist. I can make cultural observations, if you don't mind. I said, and besides, and I've said this before here, I said, and besides, I believe that you cannot celebrate what you refuse to recognize. I don't think people should be in a blender and be homogenized. I think we have to recognize cultural traits with people and traits in society. And I've talked about this before, but I want to revisit it a little bit today and expand and explore it. This idea of typification, does anyone remember what typification means? Yes, ma'am. But you took my class at VU. That's not fair, and you remember everything, and you turn in perfect papers, so that's horrible. Go ahead. What's typification? And according to whom, Miranda? She knows it. According to whom, Miranda?
I don't want to Go ahead.
According to you.
Oh, according to me, okay.
I think I remember, but
yes?
Is when you look at somebody and you make an assumption about how they're going to be or who they're going to be, and you rely on that assumption to engage in an interaction.
Did everybody hear that? Can you stand? Yeah, it is textbook. Yeah, it's, there we go. Stand and deliver, loud. There we go. Good. If you were still my student, I'd still give you an A. It's a shame they don't allow A pluses. Yeah, typification is that process by which you categorize someone as you have to interact with them socially. And it's absolutely necessary. It's the categorization that sustains all social interaction, all knowledge, really, because all knowledge is categorization. You have to have categories for things in order to identify them. So that if someone comes to you and they have big puffy red hair out to here and a red ball on their nose and face paint, what do you think? This is a clown. This is not just my weird neighbor, okay? You don't run away in horror going, oh my gosh, what is that thing? You go, oh, that's a clown. Clowns have a role in society. I can interact with this clown on a clowning basis, especially him and his floppy shoes. Or if somebody comes to you and they have a gun on the side held by a belt, and they have a large metal thing, right, pinned to their chest. This person is not, what is this person? Please, a cowboy? A cowboy? Depend. Good, thank you. Because if you're at a single action shooter society, or if you're at Knott's Berry Farm, do you have the same reaction? No. Because you know what the category represents depending on context, and you change the way you interact. That's what sustains all of our capacity to interact in society. It's just the foundation of knowledge. The problem is not typification. The problem is stereotypification, in which you insist on that category applying to others beyond that category, and in which you insist on the boundaries of that category despite what presents to you from that person themselves, and in which you attend that category with ancillary categories. Okay? Did I just do too much professor speak for church right there? Okay, so, shall we? Bradley? Bradley is a pastor. Bradley wears shorts. Pastors wear shorts. Hmm? Therefore, I'm a pastor because you wear shorts. Yeah. See that kind of horrible logic? Or you're a pastor, you better wear shorts. Bradley's a pastor, correct? Adam is a pastor, correct? Adam wears glasses. Does Bradley wear glasses? Bradley's not a pastor. Got it? Nah, it doesn't count. See what I mean? So I'm supplying, when I stereotype, I supply other categories to that category. And I dominate that category. I take it away from its natural and appropriate meaning, and I put something else in there. Got it? So we end up with things like really offensive things. Asian people are good at math. Excuse me? The whole world's good at math. Are you kidding me? Indian people are good at math. Germans are good at math. Asian people are good at math. Math transcends most language barriers. Got it? Hello? You know? Blondes are... Got it? Okay. Now, the problem is that this is tricky because... Categories, though necessary, are subject to abuse in social, because of the pressures of social force, and because of what are called social discourses, the way that people frame and characterize and teach people tacitly or without stating it openly. See, I can translate in my head. See, without stating it openly, these categories can be distorted out of their appropriate and ordinary and beneficial use. Shall we do a few? This is not a game of beat the game. This is a game of pay attention to what goes on in your head. Ready? So your job is to pay attention to what goes on in your head, what's your immediate gut level reaction in words or images when I say the following things. Now, some of you may have played this game with me before, but it's okay. Play it again and see what happens. Some of these terms you will be familiar with, some of them you will not. And in fact, here's what you do. Whether or not it's offensive, say that the first words or images that come to mind to the person sitting next to you, because that's probably a safe person because you came to church with them, okay? Okay, ready? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Cancer patient. Okay? Good. Good. Ready? Let's do it again. Lung cancer patient. Do you have as much compassion on the lung cancer patient? You know, I was referring to Chuck Smith, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, who died of lung cancer. No, I'm sorry, I wasn't. I was referring to Kurt Fry, our former worship leader when we were Solomon's Porch, who's 26 years old and developed lung cancer. For no reason at all. Do you hear it? Do you feel it? Because you've been trained to associate something that isn't necessarily associated in a pejorative or a negative way. Shall we do another one? Ready? Priest. Are we honest? Are we being honest? Priest. Got it? Everybody hear that association ringing behind the category? Now, what happens when I say Buddhist priest? Ah. Suddenly, some tacit accusations go away when it's a Buddhist priest. Shall we say this? Couple. What's that? I said couple. Singular. Couple. Now I'm going to say, ready? Okay, here's an added term. Highly religious activist couple. Religious activist couple. What are some of the images that come to mind with a religious activist couple? What kinds of, come on, volunteer, what kind of images do you get when you think of religious activist? Okay, abortion. What kind of people are these people? Angry? Evangelical capital E, yes, good. What else? What kind of attitudes do they have?
Very like
protest. What else? Very what?
Yeah, I felt like entitled and proud and like uptight.
Tight? Good. Yeah. How do they parent?
Strictly.
Are they good parents, bad parents? What happens if I say gay activist couple? Now what images come to mind? Isn't it interesting that you... Okay? Now, this is the social scientist in me speaking. How often have you seen a highly religious couple depicted as abusive in the media?
a highly religious couple raising their kids. What kind of a person is the dad? Or even a highly religious activist couple anywhere. Highly religious person, activist, in the media. How often is that person harsh, unforgiving, duplicitous, in other words, false, has hidden secrets, and is abusive in their family? How often have you seen a gay couple depicted as abusive? Never. Are you really telling me that gay couples don't have the same problem that other couples have? That gay couples aren't abusive to each other? But you see, categories are subject to distortion based on presentation. When was the last time you saw a minister presented in the media that wasn't false? Live, but I mean a presentation like in a movie. Or is the minister always the one with the dark secret, who doesn't really live his religion? But the gay activist is the one who's true to his ideology or her ideology and has no secrets. Because they live openly. See, categories are subject to distortion. So that activity from one is acceptable and activity from the other is not. How about a motivational speaker? What do you think of when you think of a motivational speaker? You don't have to tell the person next to you. But what do you think of when you think of a motivational speaker? Okay. Now, what do you think of when you think of a TV psychologist? Okay, or a radio psychologist? Okay. What about a motivational TV psychologist? Who do you think of? Now, what do you think of when I say a motivational TV evangelist? Motivational speaker, TV psychologist, motivational speaker, TV evangelist. Are you really going to tell me that all the televangelists are insincere? And all the psychologists are sincere and just want to help people? See, categories are subject to distortion based upon social pressure and social force. I had a request from a couple going to be... This has been a season of weddings. 5 weddings in 7 weeks. Yeah. Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride again. Here comes the bride and her party. Here comes... Whoa, there goes the bride. This person I have spoken to face-to-face only once. And the person asked me, yeah, I just want to call and make sure that there wouldn't be any bashing in the sermon. Like, have you ever heard me bash? How many of you know what the term bashing means? What does the term bashing mean? What does the term bashing actually mean? Yeah, but I'm talking about the religious sense of bashing. Do we know what it even means? Put down a people group. Now, okay? If it is to put down a people group, do we allow bashing out of every media source? Do we allow bashing out of politics? Do we allow bashing out of economics? So socioeconomics? Okay, the DSM, now 5, Diagnosis and Statistics Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, has 500 pages of categorization and typification. It's 500 pages of categories for people, saying all of their pathologies. How come that's not bashing? 500 pages of telling how people are bad and wrong and sick. But that's not bashing. Wait until I start ranting, right? Context, yeah. I want to do you a little game. When have you personally, not via media, when have you personally had somebody bash you with a Bible in the sense of verbal confrontation? Bash you with a Bible. When have you personally experienced that? Personally experienced it.
How about,
Nope, I'm talking
I'm talking about bashing. Oh, ill-informed non-Christians, no. I'm talking about the stereotype of a basher, a religious basher, which is somebody who uses the Bible to and biblical quotes in order to act aggressively toward you or a people group. Good? Okay. Now, how many of us have experienced that personally? Right. Now, by how many people? How many people? One. How many, Marquita? Five? One? Good. How many? Any experience bashing over here? One? How many? One. Good. How many Christians do you know? Like, in a number, an estimate. How many Christians have you known throughout your life?
Close to thousands.
Thousands. Marquita, how many Christians have you known in your life?
On my Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. How many on your Facebook page?
A little over
1,800. 1,800. 2,000. John, how many Christians have you known in your life?
Above 1,000.
How many have you been bashed by? One. How many of you had to say, honestly, in my own personal experience, I've never been really bashed by someone? Ah. How many Christians do you know, Tim?
500 or 1,000.
Over the course of a lifetime?
Yeah.
I want to propose to you that the idea of the bashing Christian is a boogeyman. Created simply to silence those who have something to protest. Yes, there is a point to the Bible. My point is this. The categories that exist between people are necessary. But if they are falsely or inappropriately created, they become weapons and tools of silencing and oppression and marginalization. So that the Christian and the Christian alone is not allowed to raise his or her voice in society under the guise of being a basher, while the psychologist can do it all day long. That the sociologist, and I say this from someone with a location in the social sciences, social science can assert its voice that certain things in society are bad or harmful all day long, but as a minister, I don't get to. Because then I'm inappropriately speaking to the human context. And that's a boogeyman. And it's a boogeyman created specifically to allow people to be aggressive toward religious people without justification. To accuse them of bashing rather than to confront the issues they protest. Now, in the observations of Lyotard and Foucault, two of the founders of the movement now called postmodernity, movements conglomerated as postmodernity. When this happens, the categories that are silenced drop out of use. When this happens, the categories that are silenced drop out of use. And the knowledge itself drops out of use. So, let's see. Jordan. Bwah. Jordan, did you grow up in the surf culture on Maui?
When I was younger.
Okay. Can you name for me all the different kinds of waves that you can think of?
Nope. Barrel.
Barrel? What else? Overhead. Baby waves. Monsters. Sets.
Okay.
Ankle slappers, mush, walls, peaks, peels. What's that? Blown out.
Okay. Good. Okay. Now, was that? Bigfoot? Oh, didn't hear. I just couldn't hear you. Now, anybody grew up away from surf culture? Yeah. Did those make sense to you?
Baby waves, I've heard that once or
twice. Good. So when you go to the beach, you only see one kind of wave. Got it? Jordan goes to the beach, she can see at least 6 different kinds of wave. Bronson goes to the beach, he sees about 25 different kinds of wave. But see, Brad only sees waves. And when the categories drop out of use, knowledge disappears. Got it? You just can't distinguish them.
Sure.
Sure. Exactly.
And Americans, we have like 20 words for trash and garbage. You ever thought about that?
I am not going there, Tim. I am just not going to go there at all. Yeah. So here's... but that's great. Thank you. Here's what I want to talk about. We've been talking about God's vinyl, the songs of Scripture. And in those psalms, there is a recurrent category, and some of the psalms are explicit about the category, and it's a category that we don't like in our society, and it's one that wants to be silenced, and it's one that's under pressure at present from discursive forces and from social forces, and that's the category of the righteous and the sinner. Think about what happens in your stomach and head when I say sinner. Sinner. What is a sinner? A human? Someone who lives in rebellion and sin. It's just that easy. See, if I say, what is a painter? There we go. Good. You know, what is a racer? Very good. It's just something that does this. What is a printer? Who is a printer? There we go. Who is a soccer player? There we go. Who's a sinner? Thank you. Not that hard, but we want to say anything but that. Who is a liar? There we go. Who's a robber? Good. We need these categories. You know? But somehow social discourse tends to muddle these. And pardon the offensiveness of this, but listen carefully. I know it was tragic, but I want you to hear this because I want you to hear the rhetoric in it. Do you realize that the Dallas tragedy was also an officer-involved shooting? There were officers involved. They were just being shot. Yes. Dallas, a guy hid in wait and shot, assassinated a number of police officers, 5 at one time, in Dallas just recently. Yeah. It was a shooting and officers were involved. But do you hear the neutrality of the term? That softens the categories? I call and report, you know, there's a citizen-involved stab wound happening at Denny's. A citizen-involved stab wound? Are you saying that someone stabbed someone? Yes, I'm saying someone stabbed someone. An officer-involved shooting. You mean an officer shot someone? Well, it's an officer-involved shooting. Do you hear how the rhetoric works? Okay. We have to be very careful not to fall prey to that kind of rhetoric. And there are categories. The righteous and the sinner are two very real categories. When someone lives a certain way, that's how they live. Psalm 15, please. Psalm 15. Now, these are also psalms of entrance. These are psalms, basically, it's what's sung and played for people to walk up to as they're walking up into the temple. Okay? So they're like entry qualifications and welcome songs, sort of like a chime that welcomes you in to an elevator. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? In other words, who's welcome here? O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. This is the category of the righteous. Who are the righteous? And they're set in contrast against the wicked. Got it? Now, let's read this one more time, then we're going to go to another one real quick. You'll see the progression. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. Go over to chapter 24, or Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that's in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, who do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your gates, your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So what are the characteristics of the righteous? Don't look. What are the characteristics of the righteous? They tell the truth. What else? They have a pure heart. What else? They walk in righteousness. I heard a voice over here. What's that? Integrity. What else? They keep their promises. Yes, even if they get hurt. What else? They seek his face. Good. What else? They honor those who honor the Lord. What else? They lend without interest. Big news for a capitalistic society, isn't it? What else? They revile the wicked. What else? They don't participate in idolatry. What else? They take care of their friends. What else? They walk blameless. What else? Huh?
Hate the violence. Come up a couple of times. Yep. You want to hear our blind spot? Look at Psalm 15 again. What did you miss? Say it again, Tab. Nor? Nor take up a reproach against their neighbor. Nobody here remembers those. They don't even stick in our heads because the categories are compromised. Christians don't gossip. Christians don't slander. Christians don't undermine other Christians, period. And we just let it go on to everything else because the categories are compromised. Because we allow that garbage, 24 ways of saying garbage, in the church. Those are the sins that we're perfectly fine with.
It's fruit inspection.
Yeah, show me that verse sometime. We allow that stuff. Because the categories have been compromised. Because we like that stuff. We muddle it with arguments like that.
Right. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. As soon as we start talking about it, feel that? I don't go there. Who's the person who slanders?
Well, I know people who slander. I know people who gossip. I can keep a secret. My friends just can't that I tell.
And we take that category and we stereotype someone in a way that casts them without release. These are our big blind spots. So much so that we can read right through them twice and remember everything but them. Even though it's said twice. Everything else is only said once. These categories are said twice. Are we happy yet? Do you feel bashed? Do you feel bashed yet? Okay, good.
Exhorted,
admonished, all of those good terms. Go over to Psalm 37. So interesting, by the way, to the side. We went out to dinner to get a bite to eat last night, and we were sitting there, and there was a single-stall bathroom, one for men, one for women at this restaurant, and there were three boys about 10 or 11 years old with their family at some dinner function, and one of them goes over to the bathroom, and it's locked because it's occupied. And he comes back, and they go, what? And he goes, yeah, it's occupied. The one goes, just go on the other one and say you're a transsexual. When the categories get blurred, the knowledge disappears, and people don't know how to order their own behaviors. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of the wicked, and hear the contrast throughout this. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Pardon the pun. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they won't be there. But the meek shall inherit the land. By the way, this is what Jesus is quoting in the Beatitudes. The meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and they gnash their teeth at them.
Shall I say that again? The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to kill those who walk uprightly. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. They are not put to shame in evil times, and the days of famine they have in abundance. But the wicked perish, and the enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrow, they don't pay back, but the righteous are generous and keep giving. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Our steps are made firm by the Lord when he delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are ever giving liberally and lending, and their children become a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, and you shall abide forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will not forsake his faithful ones. The righteous shall be kept safe forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and live in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak justice. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their footsteps do not slip. The wicked watch for the righteous and seek to kill him. The Lord will not abandon them to their power or let them be condemned when they are brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on the destruction of the wicked. I have seen the wicked oppressing and towering like a cedar of Lebanon. And I passed by and they weren't anymore, and I sought them and they couldn't be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is posterity for the peaceable. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them and saves them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Do you hear how many times the contrast is there? The two categories? These are necessary categories. How silly it is, but I have to tell you this, it's good to be good. And it's bad to be bad. There are simple categories, righteous and wicked, and it's good to be righteous and it's bad to be wicked. Period. Tolerance should only be extended to things that should be tolerated. The rest is under debate. I want to say it is bad and dangerous to be a sinner. If you went to a doctor and they said, your numbers are off and you're diabetic, would you say, hater? Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Your blood pressure is, 240 over 160. Don't judge me. You're going to die. I can't believe you'd condemn me that way. Basher? Yeah. Basher? Never mind that basher itself is a hate term. Hater is a hate term. Those are stereotyping names.
Oh. I don't stereotype people, just people who stereotype people. I only stereotype stereotypers.
Okay. Now I want to say this. The category righteous, it doesn't matter if there's lots of incidental things attached to it, quirks or weirdness. Doesn't change the basic category. You're a righteous man. I know you. Mike Hendren, you're a righteous man. You're weird, but you're a righteous man. And I know you, and your quirks don't matter. Can
Kenneth Ott, you are a righteous man. I know you. I've known you since we were 16. You're righteous. You're a righteous man, Ricardo Buckley. You're also weird. Danny Shea, you are a righteous man. Stay that way. I've known you since you were 16. You're a righteous man. I don't care what kind of quirks you have. Throw out the stuff that's not the right category and keep the right category. You're a righteous woman, Karen Hendren, and a faithful woman. Jeremy Lenz, you are a righteous man. In only 25 years, a righteous man. Kathy Lenz, you are a righteous woman. Sometimes I think you don't get my jokes because you have a funny accent, but you're a righteous woman. And the other parts don't matter. They do not matter. They should not be factored into the equation. I don't care if you ever sent me a birthday card. That doesn't impact whether or not you're righteous. I don't care if you drive too slow on the freeway. Doesn't impact that you're righteous. Men and women of God, let us be righteous, righteous people. And let's seek first righteousness and His kingdom. And all the rest will be added unto us. Not let go of that category. But the one thing we can't say is something like, you know, I'm a vegan, but I eat, you know, milk and cheese and eggs and fish and poultry, beef, no pork. Well, actually not processed pork, but I'm a vegan. No, you're a liar. I'm a Christian. I slander, I charge interest, I look out for myself. I'm not generous to people. I'm kind of actually reproachful of my neighbor. I'm really good at criticism, and I'm bitter. And no, you're not a Christian. Time for you to get baptized. Be righteous. Don't ever, ever fall back. Because as Psalm 12 says, help, Lord, the righteous perishes. And that is the danger for our society today. Let us be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. God's people said,
amen.
All right. Brother,